Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Samech Zayin in Pesachim. Yesterday, we had the pleasure of starting the sixth parak of Pesachim. The sixth parak started on daf Samech Vav on 66. So we embarked on the discussion of Karban Pesach and Shabbos. How does Karban Pesach relate to Shabbos? So we know Karban Pesach overrides the Shabbos. In other words, given the choice of Shmir Shabbos versus Karban Pesach, so Karban Pesach is going to be an override. Now, how do I know that? So the Gemara bases it on the pasuk of Bemoado. In other words, there's an appointed time. There's a specific time in which the Karban Pesach has to be brought. The Torah is makpid. The Torah is very particular about the fact Karban Pesach will be brought on the 14th day of Nisan. So therefore, even if the 14th day of Nisan falls on a Shabbos, so it's going to be brought on a Shabbos. What exactly about the Karban Pesach is going to be overriding the Shabbos? So that's a debate in the Mishnah. The first Mishnah in the sixth parak of Pesachim brings down a fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, Machshirei, any preparatory act, and even if the preparatory act involves an Issur D'Rabbanan, an Issur D'Oraisa, any preparatory act would be permitted. That is the argument of Rabbi Eliezer back in the Mishnah. So if I have to carry the Karban Pesach, if I have to bring it from outside Tchum, if I have to cut off a Yabelis, any of those examples, Rabbi Eliezer says, do it, meaning I not only am doing the Avoda of the Karban Pesach, but I'm also going to do any of the Machshirin and the preparatory acts as well. That sheet is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not correct. Rabbi Akiva says, only the actual avoda itself is going to override the Shabbos. The shechita of the Karban Pesach, the zrikas adam, the michu ekreva, v'aktaros chalavav. Any of the actual avodas themselves are going to override the Shabbos, but not any of the machshirim. None of the machshirim, no. So if I have a Karban Pesach and it's not prepared, meaning it's, let's say, outside Yerushalayim, I have to carry in order to get here, I have to bring it from outside Tchum. So Rabbi Akiva says that, okay, you're not going to be able to bring it. You can't violate Isuri de Rabbanan. What about Hazah? Let's say a person's tummy mace, and he needs a sprinkling of the paraduma, which normally is a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos. Can you be sprinkled with the paraduma so that you could bring the Karban Pesach? So once again, another machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, sure, why not? In other words, it's machshirin. It helps you, it assists you in bringing the Karban Pesach. So good, so sprinkle the paraduma. Normally it's a nisr de Rabbanan. Yeah, normally it's a nisr de Rabbanan. But if it's facilitating you bringing the Karban Pesach, you're allowed to do it. That sheet is Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas again, Rabbi Akiva would say, no, it's unfortunate, but you can't sprinkle the paraduma. That's something I know you couldn't have done it before Shabbos, so it's a little trickier over here. But still, you can't sprinkle the paraduma on Shabbos. It's an issur d'rabbanan. So okay, so you get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Okay, so that's a general overview of the Mishnah. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah really treated us because the Mishnah gave us a lot of dialogue. The Mishnah gave a whole discussion between Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yehoshua, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. So we got to see a lot of back and forth on this issue in the Mishnah. Then yesterday on the Samech Vav Amud Aleph, we quoted a Tosefta, which I claimed was popular, only popular because, really, primarily because I know it, but I assume everyone knows it, and that's the ascension of Hillel HaZaken to his position as the Nasi of the Jewish people, right? The Hillel HaZaken, together with Shammai, were the fifth of the Zugos. There are five pairs of Tanayim after Shimon HaTzadik. So the fourth pair is Shmai Vavtayon. And then the fifth pair is Hillel and Shammai. So how did Hillel get to that position? So the Tosefta yesterday gave us a little background information where they wanted to know, in other words, they were confronted with a scenario where Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos. And they wanted to know, do we bring the Karban Pesach this year on Shabbos? So that was a question, which to us would seem to be a very fundamental, a simple question, really, fundamental question. It's hard to imagine that they're actually asking that question. So but then Hillel comes in and he says, look, I was with Shmai Vavtayin and I served under Shmai Vavtayin. I know the answer. And he gave Musar, he reprimanded the rabbis of his time. He said, I'm not even a local. I'm from Bavel, and I'm not even here. And meanwhile, I know the halacha. You're locals. You're in town people, and you should have known this. And he gave them Musar for not knowing this information. Immediately subsequent to his giving them Musar and he giving them rebuke, they then followed up with another question: are you allowed to carry the knife or not? More to the point, how do you get the knife from where they are to the Beis HaMikdash? So at that point, Hillel said, you know, that's a really good question. And I know Shmai Vavtayin spoke about that. I just don't remember what their answer was. So he got caught up right after, and the Gemara is going to know, we're going to one of the first things we're going to be discussing this morning is that right after he gave them the reprimand for not learning enough and not being diligent enough, they stumped him on the question. So he didn't know, and the answer was, the Gemara, the Tosefta told us what the Jewish people did. Hillel said, look, the Jewish people may not be Nevi'im, but they're B'nai Nevi'im. In other words, they'll know what to do. I'm sure of it. So then comes around Erev Pesach that year, and what did the Jewish people do? They took the knife, and if it was a sheep, they stuck it in the wool. If it was a goat, so they tied the knife through around the horns of the goat. Okay, that's what the Jewish people did. Perfect. The Gemara yesterday wanted to know, isn't that some form of Isser of Shvisus Behema? Meaning you're getting an animal to work for you on Shabbos? So the Gemara's essential answer yesterday, and this is where we ended up yesterday, it's Kalacha Yad. No, that's not work. Saddling an animal, that's work. Right? Putting a burden on an animal, that's work. But tying a knife into the wool of the animal, or tying a knife between the horns of the animal, that's Kalacha Yad. That's by way of that's an unusual thing to do, and that's not an issue. Maybe under other circumstances it would be an issue, says the Gemara, but to bring the Karban Pesach, to facilitate the bringing and the offering of the Karban Pesach, that's fine, says the Gemara. Okay, that was a long run on sentence from my standpoint, but that was all just a simple review of what we saw yesterday. We're on Samach Vav Amud Beis now, we're at the two dots. We're starting with the words, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, we are now going to be treating the Gemara to another Gemara that speaks about not getting angry. It is right, the mead of anger. Yeah, I'm sorry, yes.
I was just reading that they didn't consecrate the animal.
Right, correct.
That's a big thing.
Right, so that they wouldn't be over on so they wouldn't be over on Me'ilah. Right, correct. Okay, the Gemara now is going to talk about not getting angry and not getting arrogant, right? Two attributes which I mentioned before, just quickly mention again. The Rambam writes, when it comes to any midah in the Torah, any attribute in the Torah, so be in the middle. Meaning you always want to be in the middle of any character trait. So in other words, you don't want to be too generous, you don't want to be too stingy. Right? You want to be somewhere in the middle. The Rambam speaks about this at length. In the section he entitled Midos, right? What are proper character traits? However, the Rambam writes, when it comes to two character traits, the Torah doesn't want us to have any part of it. Meaning, not to be in the center. We shouldn't be centrists on these character traits, but we should be extremists. What character traits do we need to be extremists? On the character trait of anger and on the character trait of arrogance. And not to be, and obviously we don't mean to be, you have to be the extreme angry, just the opposite. You have to be the extreme and not angry at all. In other words, the Rambam says that it's unfortunately human nature. I mean, we're wired this way. In other words, we tend to get angry. But the Rambam says, okay, but you got to fight that, you got to combat that, and you have to never become angry. That's on the issue of anger, no anger whatsoever. And the Rambam says, gaiva, arrogance as well. Arrogance as well is something which we should be extremely deficient of arrogance. We should have no arrogance. So that's the Rambam, and our Gemara is really going to speak to these ideas. The Gemara now, we're in the middle of the Amud Samach Vav Amud Beis at the two dots, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol HaMisyaher, anyone who is arrogant. The word Misyaher, we see that word every now and then. The Gemara, Yuhara, so anyone who's arrogant, Im Chachamu Chachmaso Mistalekes Mimenu. So if you're a chacham, that you're going to lose your chachma. You're going to lose your wisdom on account of arrogance. In navi hu nevuah samastekalakas mimenu. Let's say you're a navi, so you'll lose your nevuah. Im chacham hu chachma samastekalakas mimenu mehila. And the Gemara now is going to say precedence for this. How do I know this? So number one, I know that for showing off arrogance, you're going to lose your wisdom. I know it from Hillel. Damar Amar Yitzchel mekantram bedvarim. Because what happened? Hillel saw that the Jewish people, specifically the Talmidei Chachamim of his day, didn't know answers to simple questions like, do I bring Karban Pesach on Shabbos? They didn't know the answer. So he comes and he gives the answer, but then not only does he give the answer, but he flaunts it, meaning he says, look, you guys should have known better. Now, it could be, you could have understood Hillel not as being arrogant, but just simply giving muster, right, which is the way I was presenting it. But the Gemara's assumption over here is that no, Hillel went too far. Meaning it was more than just a sign of, it was more than just Moshe. He was being arrogant. So his chamekantram b'dvarim v'kamalu alachas u'shamati v'shachachti. And then immediately what happened was they asked him a question and he didn't know the answer. So you see that arrogance leads to a loss of chachma. You saw it by Hillel. So im navihu nevuah samasalakas mimenu midvara. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that if you show off arrogance, you're going to lose your nevuah? So for that, we're going to go to the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. Towards the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, right, Perek Dal and Hay. So we have over there Dvar, one of the seven prophets. The prophet says, okay, I don't know the right way to say it, but seven female prophets. The Gemara in Megillah goes over all seven of them, but she was a Nevi'ah. Dechsev chilu perezam b'Yisrael chilu ashekamti Dvara. Shekamti aim b'Yisrael. So Dvara says, you know, there were no one stepped up to the plate until me. Meaning, I'm right. There was no mother of Israel before me. So, in other words, again, it's a tinge of arrogance that you hear. And then it goes on in the Shiras Devorah, where it says, "Devorah, wake up." In other words, she lost a little bit of her prophetic ability as a result of the fact that she was arrogant. Okay. So that's a word on arrogance. The Gemara says it causes a chacham to lose his chachmaso, and it causes a navi to lose his or her nevuaso. Reish Lakish amar kol adam shekoisim chacham hu chachmaso mestalakas mimenu. Im navi hu nevuaso mestalakas mimenu. So now the Gemara says that not only is this true by gaiva, by arrogance, but it's also going to be true by kaas, by anger as well. Anger is going to cause the same effect. So here we go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. As a result of that, lost his chachma, dechsev. And we know that because Veitzav Moshe Apukudei Achayel, right? Moshe got angry with the soldiers. This is Mechemes Midyan, where Moshe got angry because they did not do as per instructed. They said they saved the women of Midian. Moshe got angry. And then it came to a question of what to do with all the spoils of war, the clay Midian, right? The dishes, the pots, the forks, the knives, all the utensils that they got from Midian, which were used for non-kosher. So how do we deal with that? How do we expunge the non-kosher taste out of the pots and pans? So so we know the answer is very simple. You're machshir. You do hagala. You do libun. In other words, you kasher the kalim. Good. But Moshe didn't say that. Who was there giving that halacha? Elazar. Elazar was the one giving over the halacha of hechsher kalim. So why didn't Moshe give over the halacha? Mechlal de Moshe I alimine. So the Gemara says, because Moshe got angry. As a result of his anger, the consequence of his anger is he lost his chachma. So then it came time to answer a simple, well, not simple to us, not simple, but a simple halachic question. So Moshe, at that point in time, had a moment where it lapsed. He didn't know because he was angry. So another example where if you get angry, you're going to lose your nevuah. So Elisha, dechsev lulipnei Yoshafat, melech Yehuda, anino say ima bida lechavim arecha. So Elisha got angry, not with Yehoshaphat, but Yehoshaphat was the saving grace over there in that episode, but rather with the melech Yisrael Yehoram. So he got angry with the melech Yehoram. And he says, had it not been Yehoshaphat, I wouldn't even have looked at you, or whatever. He got angry. And meanwhile, Elisha now needed his prophetic ability. He got angry, it lost him. He needed music to calm him, to assuage him. And, okay, so in other words, he got angry, and as a result of that, he lost his nevuah. Okay, so, the Gemara speaks to the midas of arrogance and anger causes a chacham to lose chachmaso, causes a navi to lose nevuaso. Amar Rabbi Mani bar Pashish kol shekoris afilu poskin lav gedulam neshamayim morid noso. Another consequence of getting angry is the following. Let's say you have an appointment, meaning an appointment to a position from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu and the way he works the world in his Hashgacha Pratis has you signed up for a particular position. If you get angry, even if min hashamayim you had this appointment, you will lose the appointment. Minalan me Eliyav. So we know from Eliyav. Okay, it's great, great trivia. Go home tonight and ask anyone in your family who Eliyav was. Okay, I would have chipped up on this one. The Eliyav was the brother of David HaMelech. Shenemar vayichar af Eliav b'David vayomar lama ze yarata va'amina tashta ma'atat zon ha'ena b'midbar ani adati et zoncha v'et ro'ol v'avcha k'laman ro'os ha'melchama yarata. Right, David visits the brothers at war. The truth be told, he was sent by his father, but David visits the brother at war, and Eliav, one of the brothers, gets angry with David. Why are you here? I know why you're here. You're here to watch a fight. That's all. That's the only reason why you're here. Right? What, your sheep got lost? In other words, you're not here for the right reasons. Basically, he's trying to tell his kid brother to get lost. But anyway, but Eliav gets angry. Now comes time for Shmuel to anoint the new king. Now the new king was going to be one of Yishai's children, one of his sons. That was clear. Which one? So every time he positioned himself, Shmuel positioned himself in front of one of the sons. So the Navi says, "Lo bezebach Hashem." No, not this one. Okay, in other words, not even enough for consideration. However, Uve Eliav, but regarding Eliav, Ksiva Yamar Shemo Shmuel. Al tabit el marehu the el gova kamasoki mastio makim mastio. Don't look at his tall stature. Don't look at his good appearance, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu rejected him. That's the nevuah that was given to Shmuel when he was standing right in front of Eliav. Now it's clear, just the simple pshat in the psukim, by all the other brothers, not even a consideration. Eliav was up for consideration. And meanwhile, because he got angry, so poskin lo gedula, so his appointment was taken away from him. Mechlal da have rachim le ad ha'idna. Kadosh Baruch Hu had him up for consideration. So instead of David Melch Yisrael, we would have had Eliav Melch Yisrael. The song would have sounded a little bit different, but that was a consideration, and his anger was his downfall in terms of that consideration. Adkan, that takes us now through a little bit of the Musar HaGemara, not to get angry, not to get arrogant, the results, the consequences of getting angry and getting arrogant. And now we resume and return back to Gemara, what we would call regular Gemara, Halachic Gemara, where now we are going to be discussing the following. In our Mishnah, starting the sixth parak of Pesachim yesterday, so we dealt with a very basic issue. We know that if the 14th day of Nisan falls down on Shabbos, we're still makar of the Karban Pesach. Good. Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, to what degree? But in other words, but we know the basic halach is that the bringing of the Karban Pesach is going to be an override. It's going to override. So how do we know that? So that's what we go back to yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday's Gemara and Samach Vav Amad Aleph, Hillel HaZaken comes in for Hillel HaBavli, comes in from Bavel, and he gives him the answer. The answer is Moado. So it's brought in its appointed time. He learns it out through a Kavachomer. He learns it out through a Gzeirah Shavah. Okay, but good. That was that's how we know. The Gemara now, and really it's going to be most of today's discussion, is going to be discussing another aspect of the Karban Pesach, and that is that not only do I bring it on the Shabbos, but I bring it in a state of Tumah. Now, not for individuals. We know what happens when an individual becomes Tameh. He gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Good. So that's what happens when an individual becomes Tameh. However, what if the Jewish community becomes Tameh? So if the Jewish community becomes Tameh, so then we bring the Karban Pesach Bizmano. And this is unique to the Karban Pesach. This is not true by any other Karban, although I'm going to qualify that statement in just a moment. But this is true by most other Karbanos. Most other Karbanos, you're Tameh. The Jewish people are Tameh. The show doesn't go on. Meaning, we don't bring the Karban. You get a Karban. Karbanos and Tumah don't go hand in hand. In fact, as we'll be spending a lot of today discussing, if you're Tumah, you can't even walk in the Beis HaMikdash. And under certain circumstances, you can't walk into the Har HaBayis. And under certain circumstances, you can't even walk into Yerushalayim. So usually, Tumah precludes Avoda. That's usually what happens. But when it comes to the Karban Pesach, as we're going to see over the course of this morning, no, Karban Pesach, the Jewish community is Tumah. So then you bring the Karban Pesach. Now, let's be honest with one another. The sixth parak is not really the right time to have this discussion. I say that because, really, it's a discussion that's going to be started in the Mishnayos later on, in the Masechta. So what are we doing now? So the Gemara is bringing it up now for the reason which I think will become evident, meaning because of the relationship between the Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid, which we discussed yesterday by Hillel HaBavli. So therefore it comes up now. But the truth of the matter is that the real in terms of Mishnayos, in terms of where this discussion belongs in Pesachim, it really belongs later on. But we get to have it now. The Gemara, we are on Samech Vav Amid Beis. We're at the two dots on the bottom of the Amud. First wide line on the Amud. Five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara starts off, Ashkechan Tamid U'Pesach Tadachu Shabbos. I know that the Karban Tamid, and I know that the Karban Pesach overrides the Shabbos. Tadachu Tuma Minalan. But how do I know that it overrides Tuma? So already he got it. Meaning if I asked you, what is overriding Tuma? So there are two Karbanos which are going to be overriding the Tuma. The Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid. So how do I know? How do I know that these Karbanos are going to override Tuma? So Amri Kehech, the Yalad Pesach Ben Tamid, Le'inyan Shabbos, Hachinami Yalad Tamid Mi Pesach, Le'inyan Tuma. So, yesterday's daf, what did we learn? We learned that we learn out the Pesach from the Tamid regarding Shabbos. Just like the Tamid overrides Shabbos, so too the Karban Pesach overrides Shabbos. That was yesterday's daf. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take that same Gzeirah Shavah and we're going to go in the other direction. We're going to say that just like Pesach overrides Tuma, so too the Karban Tamid is also going to override Tuma as well. Okay? So, and really, it's for that line of Gemara that's going to drive our entire daf. Meaning the reason why today we're going to be talking about the overriding of Tuma is because exactly of this relationship. The relationship of the Karban Pesach to the Karban Tamid. So again, we know that Shabbos, Tamid override Shabbos, and because Tamid override Shabbos, so does Karban Pesach, because of the Gzeirah Shavah. So now going in the other direction, just like Karban Pesach overrides Tuma, so too the Tamid is going to override Tuma as well. Now, U Pesach Gufe Minalan. But it, of course, only engenders a very simple question. Well, how do I know the Karban Pesach overrides Tuma? So I'm Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara now to this is going to give two answers, although by the end of this morning we're really going to reduce it to one answer. So Am Rav Yochanan Damakrai Ishish Kiyat Tamal Nefesh. So Rav Yochanan says, look, let's go to Pesach, let's go to the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, Parsha's Balozcha. The Torah says that if individuals become Tamei, and the Diuk in the Pasuk is very simple, Ish Nidche LePesach Sheni, Vein Sibor Nidchen LePesach Sheni. Individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Communities do not get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But rather do it in a state of Tuma. Good. So that's the source of how do I know that Pesach overrides Tumat Sibor when the community becomes Tame. Now, Amar Le Reb Shimon Lakish Le Rav Yochanan Ema. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, I don't like the source. You can argue the point. And how could you argue it? By suggesting the following. Ema, what we could suggest is the following. Ish nidcha lePesach Sheni. Individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but Sibor leslu takanta. But maybe if a community becomes Tamei, so this year we're not going to bring the Karban Pesach. It'd be unfortunate, obviously, but in other words, but let's take a motion out of the discussion. We can't. We're just in a position where we can't bring the Karban Pesach. So the Torah does not say, if the community is Tamei, so we're going to bring Karban Pesach Bizmano. All the Torah says is that if individuals become Tamei, they get pushed out to Pesach Sheni. Maybe the argument would be, or the conclusion would be, that if the Jewish community as a whole, the majority of the Jewish community is Tamei, so we're just not going to bring Karban Pesach. In other words, we don't get to bring Pesach Rishon, because we're Tamei, and we don't get to bring Pesach Sheni, because only individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but not the entire Jewish community. That could have very easily have been the conclusion if all I had was a pasuk regarding Pesach Sheni. So leslu takanta lo Pesach Rishon lo be Pesach Sheni. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, I don't agree with your source. Now, obviously, Reish Lakish is going to agree with the conclusion. We all know the conclusion is that Pesach is going to override Tumat Sibor. The only issue is now where do I see that in the Torah? So Elam Rabbi Shem Lakish Me'acha. So he's going to have his own source. Now we're going to move to Parshas Naso. I should say, rather, we're going to move back to Parshas Naso. And we're going to go now to the mitzvah in the Torah of sending away Tamei people out of the machane, out of the camp. Okay, now just a quick background, just a little bit of background information so that we're going to appreciate and understand these Gemaras. Basically, We're going to look at the encampment in the desert, and we're going to make three concentric circles. Now, they're not really circles geometrically, but in other words, just we understand. In other words, it's like a bullseye, right? With the center, and then a circle around it, and then a circle around that. Okay, now what's in the center? So we'll call that Machane Shechina. Machane Shechina, where the Beit HaMikdash is, or in the desert where the Mishkan is. So that's what's called Machane Shechina. That's the first concentric circle. Okay. The one around that is what's called Machane Levia. That's where the Levium encamped. So that's where you had the three families of the Levium. Okay, that was the second concentric circle. And finally, the third concentric circle around that is Machane Yisrael. That's where the Jewish people encamped. Okay? Now, let's take that same model and now move it to Yerushalayim. And basically, it's going to come out to be the same. Okay? The Azara, the temple courtyard, that's Machane Shechina. The Har HaBayis area around it, that surrounds it, in other words, Bizmanenu, nowadays, when we go to Yerushalayim, and we hit the Kosel HaMa'aravi, the western wall, that's the western wall to Har HaBayis. Meaning that's not the Beit HaMikdash, that's just simply the wall, the large exterior wall of Har HaBayis. So that's what we'll call Machane Levia. And then the wall of Yerushalayim, that's Machane Yisrael. Okay? Now, what's the basic halacha? So we're going to see it all inside, but just to give a... I'm just going to give an overview first, and then we'll see it inside. So, interestingly enough, Tamei Meis has the most allowance of entrance. Now, I know that's strange, by the way, if you think about it, because if you're Tamei Meis, meaning that's a serious degree of Tumah, your Tumah is not going to be removed until you have the Paraduma sprinkling on the third and seventh day, fine. But the halacha is that if you're a Tamei Meis, so you can go into Machane Yisrael, you can go into Machane Levia, you can't go into Machane Shechina. So the only place that a Tamei Meis is precluded from is Machane Shechina. Okay, now, let's move up. Now, a Zava Nida Yoledes, anyone whose Tumah is Yotze Migufo, meaning that the Tumah comes out of their body, their Tamei as a result of the fact that they have some sort of discharge of the body. Right? Well, Zav and Zava, two simple examples. So they can't go into Machane Levia, or if we move that structure to Yerushalayim, they can't go into Har HaBayis. Okay, that's a Zav and a Zava. And finally, a Mitzara. So a Mitzara is the one who is most excluded from the camp. A Mitzara cannot be neither in Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, nor in Machane Yisrael. So that means in the desert, the Mitzara had to be outside Chutz LaMachane. I mean, that really typifies the Mitzara. He has to be outside the camp, all three camps. And in Yerushalayim, that would mean that he would have to be outside of Chometz Yerushalayim. Okay? Nowadays, Bizmanenu, so let's think, just put it into practical terms nowadays, and we'll come back to the Gemara. So nowadays, so what are we? So we, first of all, we're all Tamei Meis. I mean, it's possible a kid will be grown up not becoming Tamei Meis, but it's very difficult because... I mean, most of us are Tamei Meis, either coming into contact with the mace or touching somebody who touched the mace. So, hard to, right, it's inescapable conclusions that most or all of us are Tamei Meis. So, we can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. 2,000 years now, we haven't had a Beis HaMikdash. So, but in other words, but even the area of the Beis HaMikdash, we can't go into. If you want more discussion about this, there is a Ravid, a Shitas Ravid, that says that nowadays it's okay, but... In other words, the normative halacha is, the accepted halacha is that we can't go into neither the Beis HaMikdash nowadays or the area of that is the Beis HaMikdash. A Zava, right? Anyone who's Tumas Yotze Migufo, Anida, Yoledes, Balkeri, so they can't go into Har HaBayis. Okay, so I know nowadays you'll see people walking into the Har HaBayis area, right? Controversial whether you should or shouldn't. Politically controversial, halachically controversial, but controversy aside, just dealing with the simple halacha. So if you're a Zava, Nida Yoledes, or a Balkari, so you can't go into Har HaBayis. So what do you see these people nowadays going to Har HaBayis? So what they do is, they go to the mikvah. They're going to the mikvah, it's going to remove, under certain circumstances, for Zava, it's a little trickier because they're Mechusri Kapara. But, in other words, for a simple Balkari, Balkari is a good example, simple example. So for a Balkari, they'll tovel in the mikvah, and then they'll go into the Har HaBayis area. That's what they do. And it's interesting because even though toveling in the mikvah is not going to remove the tumas meis, but it will remove the baal keri. Okay, so that's what you see nowadays for those people who are going to the Har HaBayis. And finally, mitzaras, which nothing really to talk about. None of us are mitzarayim, but if there is a mitzara, bizmanenu, they couldn't even go into the old city. Okay. All right, that's just background, just to help us get us through the daf. Okay, so now what we're discussing is the following: how do I know? How do I know that Pesach is going to override Tuma? So Rav Yochanan said, simple. The pasuk says ish ish. When individuals are tameh, they get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But as a community, if the community is tameh, so we get to bring on Pesach Rishon. That's Rav Yochanan's argument. Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, I don't know. Maybe you could argue. And you could say that if the community is tameh, we're not going to bring the Karban Pesach all together. That could very well be the conclusion. So now what we're about to learn, is the source according to Reish Lakish. So we're on the bottom of the Amud on Samach Vav Amud Beis. So now we're going to see Reish Lakish's source. Ella Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish Me'acha. We learn it from here. The Torah says that they are sent out of the camp. The Mitzora, the Zav, and the Tamei Nefesh. So now, the Torah gives us all three. Now, Yomer Tamei Mesim, Baal Yomer Zav and Mitzorayim. Now, really, the Torah got a little bit extraneous, because the Torah could have just simply said, the Tamei Mes is ejected from the Beis HaMikdash, and if the Tamei Mes is ejected, well, certainly the Zav and certainly the Mitzora. Now, that argument, well, certainly the Zav and certainly Mitzora, what is that argument? Meaning, how do we know? Meaning, it could be Tamei Mes, but not these other two. Maybe the Torah does have to go out of its way to say it. So later on this morning, we're going to have a better understanding of why it is it's such a compelling argument. Well, once the Torah says the Tamei Mes is ejected from the Beis HaMikdash, well, certainly these other two are going to be ejected as well. Al Yomar Zavim Mitzrayim Va'ani Omer Im Tamei Mes Mishtachim Zavim Mitzrayim Lo Kol Shekein. And I'm going to say, for reasons which the Gemara will explain later, well, if the Tamei Mes is ejected, well, these two also have to be ejected. So now the question: why does the Torah then have to go out of its way to say not only is the Tamei Mes going to have to leave and be ejected from the Beis HaMikdash, but so too are the Zavin Mitzrayim? Ella Yesh L'Chasha She Zavin Mitzrayim Mishtachin. Because there will be a time where the Tamei Mesa is going to be gained allowance into the Beis HaMikdash area, but not your Zav and not your Mitzara. And that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to explain that not only does the Tamei Mesa have to leave, but a Zav and a Mitzara have to leave as well. Well, isn't it obvious? No. Because there are going to be times when we're going to have the Tamei Mesa sitting in the Beis HaMikdash area, but not yourself, not your mitzvah. And when is that going to be? And that's going to be the year when the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis, you can come in. Zav and Mitzvah, no, you can't come in. Okay. And so that's the source according to Reish Lakish. So Amar Abaye Hachi. So Abaye says to Reish Lakish, I don't think your argument is foolproof. Ihachi lema nami yomer zav v'tmei mesim v'al yomar mitzora. Well, if that's the point of the Torah, so then the Torah, all the Torah had to do was say tamei mes and mitzora. Tamei mes and zav, and it didn't have to say mitzora. I mean, in other words, and the Torah could have arrived at that same conclusion. We could have arrived at the same conclusion. V'ani omer. And here's what I would have said. Zav mishaleach mitzor lo kol shekein. Look, if the Zav is sent out, well, certainly the mitzor is sent out. And again, the Gemara later on is going to explain how does that logic work. Meaning, why is it that if the Zav is sent out, well, certainly the mitzor is sent out. But right now, let's just accept the logic. If the Zav is sent out, well, certainly the mitzorah. And there's going to be a time when the Mitzvah is sent out, but not the Zav, not the Tamei Meis. That would be Pesach HaBa B'Tumah. So in other words, we could use the same argument that Reish Lakish wanted to use, but the conclusion would have been not that the Tamei Meis gets to stay in the Beis HaMikdash and offer Pesach B'Tamah, but Tamei Meis and Zav. Now, V'chitem HaHachinami, now maybe you'll tell me, well, maybe that's right. It's not right. The Hatzanah, we learned in the Mishnah. Pesach B'Tamah, lo yochlu mimenu Zav v'Zavas nidos v'yolados. We know that if a Pesach in a year where Pesach is being brought by Tamah, but it's only limited. Who can eat carbon Pesach in a state of Tamah? Who can bring carbon Pesach in a state of Tamah? Only Tamei Meis. But if you're Tamei for another reason, you're a Zava, you're neither, you're a Lades, you cannot eat carbon Pesach even in that year where carbon Pesach is eaten to Tamah. V'machlu Peturim. Now, if they do eat, they're going to be exempt. In other words, they're not going to be Chayv Kares. Normally, a Tamei person who doesn't have a special dispensation and is eating any carbon is subject to Kares. But for these people, they're going to be exempt. They're going to, from the Issur of Kares. But notwithstanding, they're not invited. So in other words, we know simply it's not true that in a year where Pesach is brought B'Tamah, only the Tamei Meis can eat it, but not your Nida, not your Mitzvah, not your Zav. And when I say Zav, I mean Zav, and Nida Yoledes. Anyone who's talking about is Yotze Megufa. So basically now the Gemara, so we have two sources. Again, the question today is a very basic question. Pesach overrides Tamah. How do I know that? I have Rav Yochanan's source of Parshas Baloscha. I have Reish Lakish's source back in Parshas Noso. Now the problem with Rav Yochanan's source, it's not compelling. Meaning maybe what the Torah means is that individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, communities don't bring Karm Pesach at all. That's the problem with Rav Yochanan's source. What's the problem with Reish Lakish's source of the ejection of the Tamei people out of the Beis HaMikdash? Well, the conclusion could have been that sometimes there's not going to be an ejection. Sometimes they're going to be allowed to go in. When would be that time? Pesach Chabad B'Tumah. What was the problem with Reish Lakish's source? Well, I might have concluded that Tamei Meis and Zavim are allowed to eat Karben Pesach B'Tumah, but we know that that's not simply not correct. In other words, we know the end result is only Tamei Meis can eat, not a Zav, not Nida, not a Yoledes. And we don't arrive at that conclusion using the source of Reish Lakish. Okay. El Amar Abaye, so the Gemara says, okay. So now we've noted that there are two sources. Each source has its own unique problem to it. So El Amar Abaye, lo lamikar kama. So Abaye says, I'm ready to go back to Rav Yochanan's source. Im ke nechtav rachmani ish ki etame lenefesh. Sorry. Ish ki etame. Look. If all the Torah wanted to us to know is that individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, so the Torah could and should have just said, when individuals become Tameh, they get to move to Pesach Sheni. Lenefesh Lamali. That word Lenefesh really becomes extraneous. Because, think about it, without the word Lenefesh, we get the basic point that individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So v'chite mahai lanefesh lahakuda asa, and maybe you'll argue, what do you mean lanefesh is extraneous? It's not extraneous because maybe it's coming to teach me atame meis u'denichla pesach sheni v'ashar tameim lo. Maybe it's coming to tell me that only tamei meis gets pushed off to pesach sheni, but nobody else. V'atayim, but we know that's not true. Yachlo yeos in pesach sheni ela tamei meis mashiach yabederch rechoka. I might have thought that the only people that get pushed off to pesach sheni are those who are tamei meis and those who were far away. Zava Mitzorah and Boale Nidas Minayin. How do I know that if I have a Zava Mitzorah or someone who has relations with a Nida, all these people are Tamei and Avatumah? How do I know that they also get pushed off to Pesach Sheni? Tamalam or Ish Ish? So we know because of the Pasuk of Ish Ish. So in other words, we know that any Tumah gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So what's the word Lenefesh coming to tell me? Because it's certainly not qualifying who gets to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. We know anyone whose tummy gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So lenefesh dekas v'rachman alamali, elahachi kamar, ish nitcha lepesach sheni, vein simur nitcha lepesach sheni, ela avde betuma. So the Gemara says that the word lenefesh is not telling me a chumra, it's telling me a kula. The leniency is that individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but communities who are tummy meis, they get to bring karm Pesach in a state of tuma, on Pesach Rishon. Okay. Now, v'chi avdetzibar b'tumah b'tameh meis. Now, even when we have this allowance that the community can bring a Karban Pesach in a state of tumah, but then it's only limited. Limited to whom? Only to those who are tameh meis. Avashar tumas lo avde, but not other tumas. Now, okay, so can we make also, let's just quickly summarize, because I know this can get a little bit confusing. Okay, the story goes like this. You're tameh, as an individual, you can't bring on Pesach Rishon, period. And it doesn't matter what tumah you are, even if you're tameh meis, you don't bring on Pesach Rishon. What happens? You get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Okay? And you can bring on Pesach Sheni. And here, pretty much, not pretty much, anyone who became tameh can bring on Pesach Sheni. So you're tameh meis, you're a zav, you're a metzora, you're a needle, you're a lettuce, it does not matter. Anyone who was tameh during Pesach Rishon can bring on Pesach Sheni. Fine. Now, what if a community becomes tameh? So here now, the halacha becomes more specific. Only if the community becomes tameh through tumas meis, then and only then do we have license to bring Pesach Rishon in a state of tumah. And only the tumah mace can be invited to bring Pesach Rishon in a state of tumah. So that means that even when we're bringing Pesach Rishon in a state of tumah, because the Jewish community is tameh, that's only when the tumah is tumas mace, and only those who are tameh tumas mace can bring a Pesach Rishon. So oddly enough, if you are a zav, let's say, and this year we're bringing Pesach b'tumah, because the majority of Jewish people are tameh meis, so oddly enough, you can't participate. Right? It's a strange conclusion, but that's basically what the Gemara is saying now.
What if the majority of the Bnei Israel are tumah zav?
Tumah zav. So then no. So then we don't have.
So there's no community Pesach.
There's no community carbon Pesach Rishon. Because in order to get to this dispensation, I need the majority of Jewish people to be tameh, but only tumas meis. Okay, fine. So good. So that's the conclusion. So again, so we have two sources: Rav Yochanan's source, Reish Lakish's source. Each one presents its own problem. Abaye ends up defending Rav Yochanan's source. So if you ask me, the Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara is concluding Rav Yochanan's source is in fact the correct source. Now, remainder of today's daf is going to basically address one issue. Where you see, the Gemara, we touched on this topic of people who are tamei cannot be in the Beis HaMikdash area. Again, tumas meis can't go into Machane Shechina. Zav, and all Zav like Tuma, can't go into Machane Leviya. Mitzara can't go into Machane Yisrael. So now the Gemara is going to be spending the rest of today talking about these particular halakhos, even though it's Reish Lakish's source, even though it's not really accepted as a source, but as long as we are here, though, the Gemara is going to now discuss the issue of the being sent out chutz l'machane as a result of your tumah. So Amar Chista Mitzor Shenichnas Lefim Mechitzasal. Okay, let's say Mitzor goes into forbidden area. Now, for Mitzor, there's a lot of forbidden area. Right? In the desert, the entire camp of the Jewish people. In Eretz Yisrael, the entire city of Yerushalayim. Let's say he does go in. Normally what happens when someone violates a law in the Torah? What's the punishment? Malchus. Okay. So, Pater. So, according to Rav Chista, he's going to be exempted from Malchus. Why? Shenamar, Badal Yeshev Mechutz HaMachaneh, Moshavo. Badal Yeshev, Levado Yeshev. Mechutz HaMachaneh, Moshavo. Hakasav Nitko La'asei. Because this is one of those laws in the Torah where, if you violate the law, there's reparation. There's a way of undoing the law that you did. Right? Example of that would be stealing. Torah says don't steal. What happens when you steal? Torah says, hey, Shifa Zegzela, I want you to return the lost item. So in other words, the Torah gives you a way of repairing the law. Here too, the Torah says regarding the Mitzorah, don't go in. And if you do, we'll just exit. So anytime it's a lav hanitak la'asei, so therefore there's not going to be malchus. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Mitzar shenichlas l'flim mechitzasal ba'ar ba'im. When the mitzar goes into the area where he's not allowed to go into, he goes into the mechitza within the wall, so he's subject to lashes. Now, I don't have to read on anymore in the brisa. In other words, you already see the brisa poses a serious problem to Rav Chista. The brisa does subject the violator, the mitzara, to lashes. But we're going to read on in the Braisa. Zavin v'zava shenichnusu l'fnimei mechitza sam ba'arabayim. If a zav and a zava encroaches to an area they're not allowed to go into, they're also subject to lashes. Again, a zav and a zava, where can't they go into? They can't go into Machan Leviyah. Or in Yerushalayim, the Har HaBayis area. V'tamimeis mutali kanes l'machan Leviyah. And a tamimeis can go into Machan Leviyah, v'lo tamimeis bavad amru ela afil ha-meis atzmo. And not only can a tamimeis go into Machan Leviyah, even the mace itself can go into Machan Leviyah. How do I know that? Shenemar v'kach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Imo b'mechitza so. Because we know that Moshe took care of the atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef. Now atzmos Yosef, that's not tumas mace. That's mace. Right, the Avia Vosatoma. And meanwhile, Moshe took it in with him into his, home. Or, yeah, let's say it. So he took it into his home. So you see that you're allowed, that a mace and Tame mace can go into Machane Leviyah, just simply cannot go into Machane Shechina. Anyway, the question stands. Rav Chista says in a Metzora, when he goes into the Machane, he's not subject to Malkus because it's a lav and nitak lasei. And meanwhile, the Braisa says he is going to get Malkus. Now, Rav Chista can't just simply argue with the Braisa. What's going to happen? Tanaihi. So the Gemara says that this position, Rav Chista, can be defended by simply suggesting that not all Tanaim are in agreement. This Braisa says Badad Yeshev has to sit by himself, meaning that even in his exiled state, he can't hang out with other exiled. In other words, they all have to be individual, separated from one another. Meaning, it really is solitary confinement. We know that not all tumah is the same regarding this halacha of being expelled. In other words, various tumahs are expelled or rejected to different locations. Lite machan lazeh, machan lazeh. Div Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain't no tzarech. Rabbi Shimon says, unnecessary. Harei Omer v'yishach minamachan kol tzarech v'chol tzarech v'chol tam l'nefesh. Yomer tamei meis. All the Torah would have had to have said was tamei meis, v'al yomer tamei zav. V'ani Omer. Tamei meis mishtach, and well, if the tamei meis has to be sent out of the machan eshchina, Zav and Lokol Shekein? Well, for sure a Zav. And again, we're going to get to that logic. What's the argument over there? Lama Nema Zav. Why does the Torah say Zav? Litein lo machane shenia. In other words, the Torah is telling me that the Zav is ejected from the next machane, meaning not just machane Shechina, but machane Leviyah. V'yomer Zav ayomer mitzara v'ani omer. Zav and Mishtach mitzara Lokol Shekein. And again, the argument over here is basically the same argument, which is that if the Zav is sent out, for sure the mitzara is sent out. And again, later on, the Gemara is going to explain how does that logic work. But in the meantime, however, let's just assume that's so. Lama nemar mitzara litein lo machane shlishis. The Torah says the mitzara is expelled because he has to go out another layer. He has to go out of machane Yisrael. Kishu omer badad yeshev akasav nitko lasei. So why does the Torah now say badad yeshev? It tells me because I already know now that the mitzara is already out there by himself. So why does it say badad yeshev nitko lasei? It takes the law, meaning if the mitzara goes into the mechitza that he's not allowed to go to, so even though he violated a law, he's not subject to malchus, because he just simply walks out. It's nitak laasei. Period. What did you see in this braisa? A machlokus tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether or not it's a law hanitak laasei. Now, clearly, the last opinion that we just learned together, the opinion Rabbi Shimon says it is a law hanitak laasei. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with Rabbi Shimon, must hold. It's not a lav hanitak laseh. So now, going back to Rav Chista, Rav Chista says that when a Mitzorah goes into Machane Yisrael, it's not subject to Malkus. Why? Lav hanitak laseh. What about the Braisa that says that he's going to get Malkus? Answers the Gemara, it's a machlokus tanaim. Okay, good. We'll pause over here tomorrow.
Sorry, please come upstairs with a wall opener. Sorry, please come upstairs with a wall opener.
Okay. Tomorrow. What we're going to do is we're going to go over, we're going to continue obviously in the Gemara, we're going to go over tomorrow, how do we make these logical steps, right? If the Tamei Meis has to leave, well, certainly the Zav has to leave. Well, why is that such a compelling argument? So the Gemara is going to address that, and then tomorrow, Chasi Lashem, Chasi Lachem, a popular Gemara coming up tomorrow regarding how we're supposed to treat Yontos in general. Okay, I'll stop over here and I'll pick it up tomorrow.